Beloved, we now turn to God's holy word, to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. There's something that I noticed in these verses and devotions a few weeks ago, and I really wanted to share it with you. It's been a blessing to me. I had hoped to do it in an e-devotion, but haven't been able to pull that off recently, and I've decided to bring it to you today. It's nothing really So unusual, something you haven't heard many times, but I think something that I trust, just like myself, you need to keep hearing again and again. I pray it'll be a blessing to you. We're going to mostly look at a few things thematically. We're not going to look at all the details in the great context very closely. But what we're going to do is look at a few things that are jumping out to me that I think are worth considering. But we'll be looking at verses 4 through 7 in Ephesians 2. Hear now the word of the Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. Amen. Having read that, let me say this. You are all sinners. You should die in hell forever. Yet in Christ, God calls you saints, and you now live forever. And that's the amazing contrast in this text, who press upon us the incredible in mercy and grace that God has shown us in Christ. Christ's death on the cross mercifully paid our eternal debt and graciously granted us eternal life. I submit that to you as the main idea related to our text and what we're focusing on. Christ's death on the cross mercifully paid our eternal debt and graciously granted us eternal life. So I emphasize the word eternal. I hope that you heard that in your ears. Eternal. Eternal. That means everlasting. That means it never runs out. That means it is an ever-flowing river of life. Beloved, God is rich in his mercy and grace toward you. That's the message for you this evening. God is rich in his mercy and grace toward you. And don't you and I need to keep hearing that again and again and again? God freely forgives you and is unconditionally good to you. That's the first thing we look at thinking of mercy and grace. God freely forgives you and is unconditionally good to you. When you look in the mirror, and you see what you really are in yourself, and especially as you look in the mirror of the law of God, you laugh, and then you cry. As I am, you are so sinful, dirty, so scary, like a dead man walking, like those crazy rotting zombie movies we see advertisements for, but I trust we don't watch, limbs falling off. This is what we are outside of Christ. This is who we are, who we were, unless we were in Christ. Look at verse 5, the first part. Even when we were dead in sin. Look at verses 1 through 3 that further bears this out. And you hath he quickened, that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So God's rich mercy is that he's changed that for us. Consider also verses 11 and 13 that follow. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You were far off. You were not part of God's people. You were outside of Christ. You were filthy, dirty sinners, alone. Now you're in the church. Now you're in Christ. But you see, these extreme opposites are compared. Who you were, you are no more. Who you are now, you ever will be. By God's mercy and grace to you through Christ and his blood. So we focus on mercy now for a moment. Mercy in verse 4, God's rich mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Hell, curse, wrath, death. Mercy is Christ showing you pity, compassion, clemency by taking your place. He holds out his golden scepter as the king did to Esther and says, "It's all right, get up and approach my throne." He holds it out and gives you mercy when he doesn't have to. He might give you condemnation. Grace, verses 5 and 7 is spoken of twice, and it'll be spoken of again in following verses. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Heaven, favor, goodness, life. Christ gives you pleasure, favor, goodwill, generosity by giving you what he earned. God gives you mercy, forgiveness, and he gives you grace, unconditional goodness. You should be sent alone in hellish solitary confinement with only the devil and your conscience to keep you company in eternal agony. And the same goes for me. But instead, for you and me, we are in Christ. We are in union with him. Notice three times, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says we are in Christ. This is speaking of our union in Christ. God looks at Christ and sees us. He looks at us and sees Christ. And this is how we are saved from our sins and living in heaven even now. Verse 6. So you have communion with God forever in everlasting life. But also, because you have a father, you also have a family. Notice, you are made alive together, verse 5. You are raised up together, verse 6. Sitting together, verse 6. You see, remember that as we take of the Lord's Supper tonight, our union with Christ, our communion with him, our communion with one another together. And this is all of God. It is all a gift of God, as is said next in verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Why? Because he has great love for you. Notice that, not just love, he has great love for you. Verse 4, great love. A lot, he loves you a lot. God's free forgiveness and goodness to you will never run out. God freely forgives you and is unconditionally good to you. And God's free forgiveness and goodness to you will never run out. Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." See also Psalm 57, verse 10, Psalm 103, verse 11, Psalm 108, verse 4. Beloved, think beyond the clouds, think beyond the solar system, think beyond the galaxies, and think up to the edge of the universe. This is how high God's mercy is over you. This is how much space and room there is to forgive. You know, we're worshiping outside now by God's providence, so look out into the sky Think about just going up on a tall building and looking down, then a plane, then if you could get to the clouds, look up to the satellites, and just think about how high it really is, and His mercy is like that to you. That is, it's rich. Verse 4, and this is what blessed me. God doesn't just have mercy to you, He has rich mercy to you. The Greek word for rich is opulent, wealthy, abounding, super abundant is His mercy towards you. Let me be superfluous, because that's the idea. I'll say it again. God's mercy is rich, it's opulent, it's wealthy, abounding, super abundant towards you. In verse 7, His grace has much riches, exceeding riches. The Greek word is immeasurable. You can't count it. Like infinity, it just goes on and on. His riches are exceeding immeasurably to you in grace. So much space for grace. So much room for more mercy. In verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, He would exhibit His incredible grace and mercy to you. See, he has a very long and wide vision cast for you, an unending one. Remember what we sang in Psalm 136, and we've studied many times together. Every single verse of those 26 verses says that God's mercy to His church endureth forever. The scriptures, especially in the Hebrew, emphasize things by repetition. I don't know of another place where something is emphasized so many times in one context. His mercy endureth forever is said 26 times to His church, when many things highlighted in the verses point out their sins, their unworthiness, and yet He is mercy. So, beloved, live it up. Not in licentiousness, but in liberty. You know, we can often be paralyzed by shame when we just don't think there's any room or more room for us to try again. When we think we've exhausted His mercy and grace. It's not possible. There's so much room to grow in grace. There's so much room to fail and get up again in mercy. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. His mercy saved us, and He shed it on us abundantly. It's the same Greek word for our word rich and richly here today. Abundantly. Indeed, God should drop you to fall so far into the belly of hell, myself as well. But instead, He lifts you up on eagle's wings and into the very gates of heaven and says, come, enjoy my house. With an eternal hope that will not disappoint you. And meanwhile, He gives you a reason to get out of bed each and every morning. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love to see you mouth those verses as you did with Psalm 46, 10, verse 10 this morning. It's encouraging to me. Sometimes I wonder, I bring some of the same verses regularly to you. Will you get tired of it? But you don't. I see you smile. I see you nodding. We need to hear these things again and again. Don't we need to hear it so often? How can I get up and try to face God and do better facing people today because of His mercy? A new start every morning. New mercy and new joy that comes with it every morning. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13, verse 20, God loves you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Let me say that again. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, God loves you with an everlasting love. Once again, How you and I lived our week deserves forever being cast out hungry and thirsty. Yet once again, Christ calls you and I to come in and have communion with him and your brethren and remember him. Magnificent mercy, amazing grace. You can never use it all up. You cannot exhaust it. The well will not run dry ever. For in Christ and together, God is rich in his mercy and grace toward you. And that is the message for you this evening, once again. God is rich in his mercy. God is rich in his grace toward you exceedingly abundantly. Praise the Lord. And remember that as you remember Jesus as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Lord God in heaven, thank you for your amazing grace, for your abundant mercy. Thank you for the river of life in the Spirit that never runs dry. We confess to you, O Lord, our sins and how we often feel as if we cannot approach you again. We cannot get up and try to serve you again. We do feel as if we've exhausted any resources of mercy and grace that you could supply to us. But this is not true. Jesus has paid for our sins in full on the cross. He's lived the perfect life on our behalf to give us your everlasting life and righteousness. You have made us children of God. You have loved us with an everlasting love, and you always will. You never run out of grace and mercy. You are rich with it toward us. And so we come boldly to your throne of grace, asking for mercy in our time of need. And we thank you for it yet again. And as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper again, mindful of our sins and our forsaking and denying you and presuming upon you and even your grace, we thank you that as we examine ourselves and express our unworthiness, yet you still welcome us and you refresh us, that you nourish we saints who yet are sinners needing of cleansing. We look forward to the day, O Lord God, where we will praise you for these things, but we will be without sin. We will be perfectly serving you. But until that day, how thankful we are for more mercy and greater grace. May our sins not abound, O Lord, but thank you that your grace abounds. We love you. Thank you for first loving us. Help us to go out and sin no more. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.